Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.
Now, when a TD loses their seat in this country, many of them try to get a seat in the Senate. But the former leader of the Green Party, Trevor Sargent, took quite a different path. Last Saturday, he was ordained a priest in the Church of Ireland. Trevor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean. And
congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
Had this been something, I assume this must have been something that was in your mind
a long time ago. Yeah. To be honest, I suppose since school days, it would have been an option. But teaching was the voice that I heard in my head more loudly than any other, and that's how that went. And teaching led to community work led to local politics led to national politics, and you know the rest yourself.
Yes, and so was it when you lost the seat, was it immediately that you started to think now's the time to go back to that, or was there a kind of a process of percolation?
Well, there were a couple of things, I suppose, in the mix. I mean, my wife's from Wexford, from Curraghcloe, and moving closer to her family was important, and the opportunity was there. There was nothing to hold me in Dublin North, I suppose, given that I was no longer elected to serve the people in the way I had been. So that was a case of let's be fair about it and move to what's easier for my wife. I have to say, I love Wexford, so I'm very happy with that move. And that also was one of those situations where God doesn't close one door but opens another. And so I was exploring that vocational element, and you go through a process of discernment. And eventually, if the bishop has enough confidence or enough neck to take a risk on you, then you're put forward for training. And that training involved professional certificate in ministry, distance learning for nearly 2 years, and then a 3-year master's in theology with the Theological Institute, Church of Ireland Theological Institute, and Trinity College Dublin. So that has been done. Conferring is the 9th of November, and as now I have an opportunity to give back to the church something of what it's invested in me.
Crikey, that's a lot of training.
Well, it's a master's. I mean, yeah. I've done a primary degree for teaching. I mean, that was the most daunting element of it. If you haven't been at the books for a while,
yeah,
or the tablets or whatever the modern communications are, you tend to have to just knuckle down. And thankfully, my wife's very good at computers and has a background in that area. So, I mean, distance learning, for example, I mean, you really need to know your technology.
Yeah, and is it mostly theological, the training you go through, or what are the components in it?
Well, there's a lot of biblical studies, and the theological side of it is pretty strong. There's also a lot of pastoral work, you know, in terms of mediation, counselling, and learning basic skills such as listening, which all your listeners, I'm sure, are very good at. But there's a certain type of listening when you're in a counselling situation, which is sort of non-judgmental and has to take account of where people are coming from. And their skills, I certainly, I mean, they say women are better than men, I don't know, but essentially they are all skills to be learned. But yeah, there are other sides of it that probably weren't sufficiently taught, and that would have been in terms of just management, administration, because parish life is, whether it be you know, GDPR in terms of data protection, whether it be child protection, whether it be accountancy. I mean, essentially you're self-employed, and that's, you know, so you have to turn your hand to all sorts of skills that may or may not be part of your past.
Yeah. And what ones, you know, did you encounter that you thought, oh, I've done this before? Well, I would imagine that being able to listen to people's problems,
yeah,
and, you know, keep a straight face and not, yeah, judge anybody, yeah, that must have been something,
well,
you had to do
exactly
before.
I think I probably have a head start in that department. In pastoral work, people look at you with the collar and say, there's a big change from politics. But take away the collar, and there's a huge amount of pastoral work in politics. I mean, inevitably, it doesn't make the headlines. And that's probably very good, because these are personal matters that you're talking about with people. I mean, suicide prevention, you're talking about
yeah,
even today. I mean, you get really harrowing situations in politics that are between you and the person you're dealing with and nobody else. And that's very much like a priest. I mean, there's a confidentiality that goes with it as well. And I hope have been, you know, all my experiences up to now between teaching and politics and anything else, horticulture, landscaping, they all come into play when you talk about parish life.
When you were a politician, was your faith a help?
Immensely helpful, immensely. Many times, I mean, in Dublin County Council, I mean, there were all the issues of corruption and land rezoning and various other scandals that have come out in the wash through Dublin Castle and other places. The peace process during the early 90s, we got a prayer breakfast going in Dáil Éireann amongst people of a Christian faith from different political backgrounds. And that was a fantastic a meeting spot, I suppose, for people in a non-threatening way from different political backgrounds. You know, there was involvement with the Glencree Centre for Reconciliation, people in Stormont in London. We had people coming over from South Africa at one point who had been involved through the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and working through conflict in that area. So all of those things were going on in the background, which I hope had some contributory help in creating an element of trust that resulted in the Good Friday Agreement.
Because I suppose if you met with people in a non-confrontational situation and you saw, well, you're a person of faith, I'm a person of faith, and you see him as a person rather than just a political adversary.
But that's basically it. Yeah. Your faith helps you to see through, hopefully, the prejudice and the public persona that has otherwise grown up.
Now that you are a priest, am I correct here? You have three parishes to look after.
Well, there are four.
Oh wow! Yeah, okay, yeah. Then I'm not correct. is it like the Catholic Church is there's a shortage of priests?
Well, now I have to clarify that. Yeah. I mean, the Dean of Waterford, Dean Maria Johnson, who's a wonderful person, a great broadcaster in her own right. In fact, she's been on the radio a few times. She's in charge, and so the four parishes are under her watch, and there are two other part-time priests working as well. So essentially there's a team of four of us. So there are options for rotating and working things together. And there's Georgie McGeary, there's a youth worker as well, and there are other people. So it's by no means a case of you're on your own. Good luck.
Okay, all right, okay. And part-time priests, that's interesting. What do they do the rest of the time if you're a part-time priest?
Well, one, I have to say, she's great, Reverend Dr. Christine O'Dowd Smith. She's a lecturer in the Waterford Institute of Technology. So she lectures in French literature. You might say it's her day job.
Yes.
But then she takes services and she's ordained priest for other times as well. And then there's Brian O'Rourke, who works between the Waterford Union of Parishes and Lismore, which is West Waterford. So he's covering different parishes and kind of fills in where it's needed at different times as well.
Right.
So it's a team.
Yeah. Now, I read that you're hoping as part of your priesthood to work a lot on homelessness for fairly obvious reasons, and plus also the environment for fairly obvious reasons.
Well, they're both two sides of the same coin, you see. That's the way in college we worked, a few of us went out with the Dublin Central Mission, which is in Abbey Street there, and does a kind of a soup run and goes out and talks to people. And it's a very human side and only one little strand in the whole element of responding to homelessness. But if you look at the sort of macro level and you look at sort of the rising sea level, 6.7 inches in the last century and twice the rate of increase at the moment. I mean, countries like Bangladesh, many coastal countries and cities are in the line of fire when it comes to not coping with climate change. And so there's all of that migratory pressure, which is one element. And the far right in Sweden, for example, have been in the news saying, responsible immigration policy. But you don't hear them talking about climate change, which is the most responsible way of tackling the cause of whatever they're complaining about in one sense. You know, the dislocation of people and people having to find safer places to live. So there's all of that. And then the climate effect on food is causing, we know now from the hot summer we've had, how harvests are down, and that's replicated throughout the world. So the cost of living is going to rise on the basis of food So, I mean, all of these are interrelated, and homelessness, sadly, is the way it sort of washes up on our shore. That's not an unfortunate term, but it is happening.
Yeah.
And we need to look at that issue because it has to be responded to in an emergency way and build more houses. Student accommodation included. There's quite a number of areas to be dealt with. But you have to also, at the same time, look and see how on earth did this all come about and look at the cause. And that's what I hope in ministry will be part of looking at that. Because, as I was saying in church yesterday, if you believe in a God of miracles, none of this is impossible.
Yeah. You sounded a bit more like a minister there when you were saying that, if you don't mind me.
Well, is that understandable? Yes. Am I forgiven for that?
If you have, though, a parishioner who doesn't believe in climate change or doesn't believe in human-made climate change, what do you do?
Well, I have to say, I've yet to believe them. They're very clever in Waterford now. You know, they have their heads screwed on. They've read the signs. Yeah. They know what they're talking about.
All right, so you've yet to encounter it yet. When you look back now at the political challenges facing your former colleagues, Brexit and homelessness, do you envy them? Do you, perhaps as part of you, wish you were still back there?
Well, you know, you might ask a soldier, do you miss a war?
Yeah.
Yeah. you do it when you're on duty and you have a job to do. But ministry gives a much more, there's a lot of pain and a lot of similarities to politics in some ways, but there's a holistic element as well. You know, if you're dealing with service and you're serving people, that's fine. But in terms of having a Christian background, you have that time of silence. You've got the sacredness and the way that nourishes your deeper humanity, and that's important. You also have the wonderful element of it is that you don't have to promote yourself. You're promoting Christ, and it's Christ's doing which is helping you to change what has to be done. So self-promotion in politics, you know, it was an element of life. It's a fact of life. You have to do it, otherwise you don't get re-elected. Nobody knows what you've been doing. But at the same time, it does wear you down. You know, there's a cynicism because you're out there on a billboard. Now, I know you mightn't have a problem with that.
No, but I actually, because it always struck me as an odd contradiction for politicians. Yeah. You have to say, I'm just like you, but I'm great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's it. You've got to create this superhuman persona.
Yeah.
Now, the way that is done, essentially, is that you have a whole team of selfless people around you who don't mind canvassing and don't mind working and hard without much thanks, to be honest, other than you're great from the person they're canvassing for. And maybe a few other people might say that too. But ultimately, you're surrounded by this wonderful, generous sea of selflessness, which invests all its energy into boosting your persona.
Yeah.
And I mean, that can be deceptive as well, because, you know, you get people. I remember when the Greens first went into government, there was some news commentators said the weather hasn't been as bad since the Greens were in government, you know, and you really wonder what do people think politics is about when they start claiming, you know, credit for the weather.
Well then, see, given your job now, you possibly could claim credit for that. Trevor, thanks a million for coming into us today. Trevor Sargent there.